here in our, hopefully our last parts, our last part of our series discussing ovens and microwaves. Last week we discussed at length the issue of ovens, and I just want to make some more short ha'aras on ovens, and then we'll move on to the complications with regard to a microwave. Just to remind ourselves, we discussed with the oven, the issue with an oven is two issues perhaps. Again, when you're cooking in an oven, it depends if you're cooking at the same time basar and chalav, and it depends if you're cooking them one after the other. If you're cooking basar and chalav together, then the issue that you're working with is reyach. You're worried about the smell of one will go into the other, which we spoke about 2 weeks ago, is really not such an issue because we paskin reich lav milsi, even though the chatchili you shouldn't do it. But most of the shiles that come up in the modern day kosher Jewish oven is going to be one after the other. I want to cook at 9 o'clock milchiks, then I want to cook at 10 o'clock fleishiks. Again, both open. How does that work with regard to basar b'chol? So we mentioned last week a concept which is attributed to the Tshuvas Rosh, which is based on Mishnais and Machshirin, that there's something called Zeya. Zeya means the steam. The steam that comes out of the food is the din of the food itself, and therefore the concern that we always have with the oven is that although the oven doesn't actually touch the food, unlike a pot, where you have a pot when the meat is in the pot, so then the bliyas come from the pot, from the food, an oven never touches the actual food, but the steam of the food goes into the walls of the oven, into the ceiling of the oven, and that steam comes out later when it's cooked with milchiks, and then you have basar b'chalav on your hands. So we mentioned last week a kula from Rabbi Abadi, from Rabbi Tzion of Osner, that it's really, we saw this even in earlier Gedolim, that today our ovens are so hot, so they burn out the Zeya, which we'll talk more about, obviously, when it comes to microwaves. But that's the major issue. Whenever you're discussing an oven, their issue always is Zeya. That's the catchphrase that you want another Zeya. Now the truth is, I just want to make this clear, there's another potential issue with an oven. The other issue with an oven is if the oven is dirty. If there's actually grease spots or grease stains or juice or gravy that's mamish on the floor of the oven, on the walls of the oven, that too can be a problem. If you're going to be cooking milchiks, or if you have cheese that's stained on the floor, the wall of the oven, that could be a problem if you're going to cook fleishiks. When we talk about Zeya, Zeya is an issue when there's nothing, when the oven is clean. When everything is clean, there's no spills, there's no spots, it's a clean oven, but an hour ago you cooked in it fleishiks or milchiks. So we learned last week, and we'll talk about this more this week when it comes to microwaves, and we'll see that the Achrenim draw a very different opinion versus microwave versus oven. We learned last week that really, if you cover everything, you're basically going to be, for the most part, okay. As long as you cover whichever opposite gender the oven is. So let's say, for example, we mentioned this many times, that the average person should make his oven fleishik, and then he'll just cover the milchiks. So once you cover the milchiks, so no Zeya comes out, no Zeya goes in, everything is fine. We also mentioned, and this is worth noting, la halacha. If let's say, for example, someone in your house mistakenly cooks something in the oven, there is a tzad lahakel if the thing they cooked was a davar yavesh. We mentioned that some achreidim hold is only Zeya in a davar lach, if it's a liquidy. Let's say, for example, you were making a very liquidy, you were baking, let's say, a gravy sauce in the oven, and then you were baking a milchikas thing. But let's say, for example, you cooked a milk, you made, let's say, a turkey in the oven, and then 2 hours later, you made a piece of cheese, you put cheese blintzes in. So the cheese blintzes don't have much moisture to it. So there are those that hold, in that case, it's not a problem at all. But we also mentioned what would happen if I'm a real risk taker. Let's say you want to really live on the edge and you want to cook milchiks and fleishiks at the same time in the same oven when they're both covered. What can possibly go wrong? Now, strictly speaking, I have my milchiks and my fleishiks together in the oven and they're both covered. They're both covered, saran wrap, they're both covered with whatever other version of coverage that there is today. I want to put them both in the oven at the same time covered. What would be the downside? The answer, strictly speaking, there is no downside. Why? Because the issue of reich doesn't exist because there's no smell that comes out from one dish to the other because both dishes are covered thoroughly. And the issue of Zeya is not a problem because no Zeya is coming in and no Zeya is coming out because they're tightly fitted with this cover. So would one be able to do that? Now, if you remember, I think it was already 2 weeks ago, maybe last week, I put on the Maram Mekayim sheet, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky discussed this Shiloh, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky really said that in theory it should be permissible, but again, it's not a good idea because what happens if one of them rip?
or the foil comes undone, you're going to get, you have a problem on your hands. So I found this week from the Sefer Mesoris Moshe, they now have three volumes they printed, as far as I know, it's at least three volumes, by Rabbi Tendler, of different psakim and things he heard from Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe was asked this question, source number one. V'sha'alti yes Rabbein, he says, I asked Rav Moshe, im l'maisa muto losim bo yisetanu k'dei ra'achas chalavi v'achas b'sari, can I put in the same oven two pot, two dishes, one milchix and one fleshix? Achas mehem megulav, achas mehem mechusav. He's going even more extreme. One is covered and one is uncovered. The Muvan, Rabbi Yaakov was talking about where they're both covered. Here he's going to talk about one's covered and one's uncovered. Let's say, for example, it's before Shavuos, and your wife wants to make milchix and fleshix. So the oven is fleshix, so she'll put into the fleshix oven the open chicken, and she'll put in the wrapped lasagna at the same time. Forget waiting. Bevas achas. So they asked Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe said, the Muvan should be etzim at the mutter. So Rav Moshe, it's mutter. If you remember, we had a Ramah last week. The Ramah says in Sadi Beis that if it's covered, everything is okay. So here also, I cooked them at the same time, so who cares? But since it's covered, no zeh comes, no zeh leaves. But Dr. Moshe, v'heshev Rabbeinu, and Rav Moshe answered to Rabbi Tendler, nu, ulai ein an hagetoyva. Maybe it's not a good practice. Why? Losem lechatchilish, and to put them together in the oven. Avlem mashu nishmash leisbalbel, lost him as shtekadeh as megula, but if you're careful next time not to put them uncovered, the gam yizor shlo legalos akise ba'oida betano, you also make sure never to uncover the covering, which Rav Moshe has another tshuva where he's very skeptical that people will not undo covers. Rav Moshe himself has another tshuva, I didn't put it on the paper, but Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he's not so gung-ho on covering in ovens. Because Rav Moshe thinks that what stops you from uncovering it? Right? Let's say, for example, you wrap your lasagna, then halfway through the cooking, you know, you say, like, it's not cooking the way I like it, I want it to be exposed, so you'll uncover it. There's nothing stopping you or preventing you from doing it. So Rav Moshe Stamazay wasn't convinced that putting something in a foil is a guarantee it's not gonna be exposed. But Lamaisa, it's interesting because Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov both really took the same approach, which is really what comes out of the sugya, that strictly speaking, if either both are covered, or at least one is covered, you don't really have anything to be concerned with except for the fact that you're asking for trouble because the next time around someone will perhaps make a mistake. We mentioned from Rabbi Abadi. Rabbi Abadi, who doesn't believe in Zeah, he holds you can even cook perhaps, maybe not on top of each other, because if you cook, let's say, according to those who don't believe in Zeah, so in theory, you might be able to cook again. You might have issues of reyach, of milk and fleshix at the same time, as long as they're not near each other, so the zeh doesn't go up. But also, he was afraid that people will botch that up. Lamaisa, the poiskim are not willing to allow it. But strictly speaking, theoretically, it definitely should be okay to cook basa b'chalav at the same time in the same oven, as long as only one of the two are covered. So let's say, for example, you have a fleshix oven, and your wife wants to make a roast for Shavuos and also a cheese kugel. Cheese kugels are pretty dover yaveshi. So, again, I'm not paskling lalach on ice like this, but again, in theory, you might be able to do that at the same time because of no issues of Zeah. But again, keep in mind, if you're going to do it at the same time, you really shouldn't put one on top of the other. Because one on top of the other, it could perhaps be an issue of Zeah. But again, but if you cover one, that should be fine. But Lamaisa, you're not going to find. I don't think any Rav is going to tell any one of his balabatim to actively go cook at the same time milchix and fleshix, even though they're covered, because we're too nervous. But again, based on the sugya that we learned, it seems to be okay. Another thing.
Based on that, yeah. then certainly you can put milchix in right after you cooked fleshix, no? Separately.
Well, no, if one is covered, correct, yes.
No, but if you're doing it individually.
Because the Zeah went around, because again, the Zeah went from the open turkey went to the walls, the steam went to the walls, and they're stuck in the walls now. Then when I cook a liquidy dish, so that liquid gives a Zeah, that Zeah goes up, and that comes back together now into the dish, as Basa B'chalav. But if it's covered, so then there's no zeh coming in, there's no zeh coming out, everything seems to be fine. That's why many people have a practice that they cook milchix and fleshix one after the other, as long as they cover the opposite gender. We mentioned last week... Yes, Michael.
Okay, we got an issue here. There's a bunch of people trying to get in, and it says that they're waiting in your waiting room.
Uh-huh.
There's about three or four people so far. They're emailing me, texting me, WhatsApping me.
I'm sorry. Again, I'm on a new device. I'm trying new things over here. Let me try to get everyone in. I apologize. I clicked admit all.
I hate to interrupt, but
No. I clicked admit all. Hopefully that should get everyone in.
Yeah, I just got in.
I'm sorry, everyone who did not get in earlier. We were just reviewing some stuff from last week. Well, I apologize. Okay. Let me just go back to the Shir, back to the Mar McComas. Okay, we're all good?
One second. Okay, Moshe Lehman's in and Joel's in.
Yeah, everyone's
in. What's his name? Who else asked me?
I think everyone's in.
Yaakov Moskowitz.
Yeah, he's in. I let him in. Okay, I apologize to that. Okay, so another thing I want to talk about, we didn't really get into last week, is what happens if I want to kosher my oven. Let's say I have a fleishig oven, and I use it for open fleishigs, which is fine, and then I use it afterwards for covered milk, like we just learned. But you know, my wife says, you know what, there's certain dishes that you can't cover. They're just not coverable, you need to cook them open. Would I be allowed to cook them open? So first shaila was, can I cook them open regularly? So the answer might be, not that I'm telling anyone to do this halacha l'maisa, the answer might be, well, it depends. If it's a dry thing, if it's not a liquidy thing, so maybe you can be samech on those paiskim that there's no real steam, or like Rav Moshe said, take a look to see if there's steam, and then it will be mutter anyways. But you don't want to go that route, you want to go the frumer route. You say to yourself, I'll kasher my oven. I'll kasher my oven in between the milks and the fleishes, and it'll be beautiful. So before Shavuos, when your wife wants to make, let's say for example, I know there's certain foods called shower foods. Right? I don't know if they have showers now because of Corona, but right, very often before a challah, before she gets married, they throw her a shower, a baby shower, a bridal shower, and these bridal showers have a lot of milchiks, so a lot of times you want to make a lot of milchiks. A lot of, if anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, go home and ask your wife, she'll tell you what I'm talking about. And they have these very nice milchik dishes, and some of them need to be cooked open. So you say to yourself, no problem. I'll kasher the oven in between. So we spoke last week about how do you kasher a non-self-clean oven. It's a little bit more complicated. But what about a self-clean oven? A self-clean oven, you hit the button, you push self-clean. That should presumably solve all the problems. So what do? So you take your oven, that's fleishig. You hit self-clean. It runs for about, I don't know, I forgot about it, 2-3 hours. It's steamed, it gets really hot. It smells horrific, and I think they say don't leave the house with the self-clean oven running, and boom, now the oven is milchiks. So your wife will cook all she needs to cook, and then afterwards you'll run the self-clean again, and you're back in business. Now, if we look over here, number 2, in the Sefer Oel Yaakov, he writes this, it will be in a nikar atzmi hashal hatanur, self-cleaning, with regard to a self-cleaning oven. So some people say, no problem. If you do that, you just kashered your oven, you can cook everything open. So you can cook your fleishiks open, self-clean it, then cook your milchiks open, because you just kashered the oven, now it's a milchik oven, then you self-clean it again, everything is fine. Self-cleaning is like libun gomur, it's the highest level of kashering, so you kasher the oven, so you have no problem. The koshkin
should... You have to wait 24 hours before...
Not for a self-cleaning oven. A self-cleaning oven is like Liebman Gomer. Presumably, you don't even have to spray any spray on it. You can just hit the button because since it's so hot, it's like Liebman Gomer, it burns everything. You don't have to have even... you don't have to make it Eina Ben Yoima. So that's a very... Again, this is somewhat more practical. For those of us that have a self-cleaning oven, we'd be able to just hit the self-cleaning oven button and you'd be good to go. Now, I just want to focus on... We mentioned this 3 shiurim ago, that there is a discussion on the Achrayim if that's a breach of the minig of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham had a minig that we don't like to switch kalim back from milk to fleishig. So there's a diyun, Rav Moshe has a shtickle about this in Masoris Moshe also, we spoke about this 2-3 weeks ago, is that also including an oven? Would you also not be allowed to do that to your oven? But putting that aside, strictly speaking, that would be a very good way to get around the problem of Basa B'chalt. He quotes like the opinion of the Be'er Moshe, the Debret Sina Rav. And then he writes, "V'ayin b'sefer hakashrus perak aleph sif mem dalet shmei v'dias hamakilim afilu lepesach l'smech hazeh," which is what many of what we do is we kasher our ovens with self cleaning for Pesach. The only problem with the self cleaning oven is the glass door, because glass presumably can't be kashered, even though we talked about this in a few shiurim ago as well. Is it so posher that you can't kasher glass? It might be machlokes machab and ramah, but at least for Pesach, us Ashkenazim amachav not to kasher glass, so many of us cover the glass. But, he says, ubabadi ha-shulchan, but Rabbi Kohn is not so convinced. Now again, I apologize, I don't have Badi HaShulchan on Yitzhar Chacham, so I can't photocopy for you, but if you look up in the Badi HaShulchan, he writes that what bothers him about the self-cleaning oven is the fact that the ovens have cheris in them. They have enamel, E-N-A-M-E-L, which is like earthenware, and earthenware can't be kashered. So if earthenware can't be kashrut, you can't even kashrut it with self-clean, and therefore he paskins you may not use a self-clean oven to switch your oven from milchiks to fleishiks. Rabbi Forst also discusses this. He doesn't really take a stand. He says yesh v'yesh. Some people hold a self-cleaning, some people don't hold a self-cleaning oven. But it's at least a discussion to whether or not you'd be able to self-clean an oven and fix. Most of us assume, I think the practice is that a self-cleaning oven does get kashered through a self-cleaning run. Now, I don't know the mitzvahs, but many people write this, that there's a difference between a self-cleaning oven and what's called a continuous cleaning. I don't know the difference. And I am assuming if someone knows this topic, they'll know the difference. But a self-cleaning taka gets hot enough, while a continuous clean apparently is not hot enough, and therefore it does not accomplish libun gomor, and therefore it would not be considered kashrut. Now again, it might be libun kal, which might be good enough anyways, but if you want libun gomor, if you want the real deal, you're not going to get that with a continuous clean, you'll only get that with a self-clean oven. But again, the consensus of most contemporary poskim, I think, as far as I understand, is that a self-cleaning oven does the job. It will fix the problem of basa to chalav, and will presumably fix the problem from chametz to pesach also. Once we're in the oven, let's just talk a little bit more about the oven. So we spoke a lot the last couple weeks about the inside of the oven. I want to talk a little bit tonight about the stovetop, the top of the oven. The question is, what happens if I want to cook on the stovetop milchiks right next to a pot of fleishik? Let's say, for example, I'm making a pot of noodles, milchik and noodles. I have sauce and cheese noodles on the left side, on the left burner. And on the right burner, I got meatballs cooking. Does that present any halachic issue? So there's halach and Shulchan Aruch, actually, not in the sugyas of Bas B'chav Taruvas, actually in the halachas of Bishol Akum. Mechaber writes in number 3, Yisrael v'goyish
Shulchan. Yes. Again, I'm sorry to interrupt.
What's
you.
Wrong?
Could you again open up the meeting room?
Oh, sure, no problem. I apologize.
Every so often, just periodically check it so I don't have to interrupt if you can.
No problem, no problem.
Thanks.
Okay. I apologize again. So let's get back to work. So again, so here's the shayla. I'm on my stove. I'm on my oven, my stovetop. And on my stovetop, I want to cook. One burner is going to have meatballs, and one burner is going to have macaroni and cheese. Now, obviously, it's a risky move, because you can clearly make mistakes, but the question is, halachically, are there any problems over here? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch is talking about a case where a Jew and a guy have two pots cooking next to each other. The Yid is cooking his dish of kosher meat, and the guy is cooking his nevela. So the halach is mutter, no problem. And the chiddush over is, we're not choishes that the goy may switch the kosher food for the treifa food. Why? Even though the Jewish meal is better, even if they're uncovered, there's no cover. There's no covering to these things. Mutter. It's completely mutter. You don't have to worry that there's going to be some form of a splatter from one to the other. We're talking about, you think about this. You have a pot of noodles. Again, it's not bas b'chol. You have a pot of kosher meat. Guy's cooking kosher meatballs, and the guy's cooking treifa meatballs. They're side by side, next to each other. The halacha is, it's okay. And we're not choshes that some will splatter from one pot to the other. As I zok the mechaber. Zok the ramav, who had the mishnei dvarim tzluim zeh itzel zeh. Same thing when you're roasting two things next to each other. But lechatchila, you should be careful when you have two dishes. Why? What's the chash of two dishes? Zok the shach number 4. Pirish b'shulam nitzaitzis. Because we are afraid. We are afraid that one can drop and one can spill into the other. Vizeh shekosav afilu. Ulefizeh kishein pien megula. Let's say they're not opened. Let's say, for example, I have a covered pot of meatballs and I have a covered pot of macaroni and cheese. Zok the shach. Then you don't have to worry about the two pots. So strictly speaking, if you have two pots cooking next to each other, they're not touching each other, they're just next to each other. So strictly speaking, the issue is spillage or splatter. But lamais, if either the chelkas binyamin, Rabbi Binyamin Cohen, who's a Feivel son in his sefer, he makes the observation that you don't necessarily have to have both covered. As long as one covered, the other one can splatter into the dish. So let's say, for example, I want to cook on the same oven top, stove top. I want to cook milchiks and fleishiks, but I'll cover one or I'll cover both. Strictly speaking, that is not a problem, because once they're covered, there's no chash of spillage from one to the other. So that's just an interesting halacha. Now, You could debate why is there no issue of reach over here? If I have two things cooking next to each other in a pot, why doesn't the smell of one go into the other? It's not clear to me. It might, depending on how they're situated in the oven, how the path of the reach goes. I mean, we spoke about reach in an oven, because in an oven there's nowhere for it to go. Here it's an open, so maybe the reach just goes away. But in any case, halacha lemaisa, it's probably not a good idea. But strictly speaking, if one or both are covered, it would not be a problem to cook on an open stovetop. Now, going back to the issue of reach for a second, we learned the concept based on the Tshuva Sarash that if you have the reach, you have the fumes of a food, it's like the food itself. Now this comes up in a couple of other areas in your kitchen itself. L'moshel, the Ramah says number 5, imayucholov b'machvas, I don't want that case, he writes over here, v'cholzer marikisha machvas megula, the pot is open, and therefore the zeya can go into the open pot. V'zeya oylem in hamachol atzma l'kdeira shaleh. The Gamayri, we're also talking about Shayu Bikarev Kokach, that the thing is close enough, Shayatso Ledes Bezeba Makim Shanoiga Bikdera, that the steam is still hot enough when it hits the Kedera. Avlam Eina Yatso Ledes Bezeya, but if by the time the Zeya gets to the food or to the pot, it already decreased its heat, Hakol Shari, then it's no problem. Ulchein, Zakhtar Ramah, Toilin Basol Yavish Al Kedera. They used to hang pieces of meat. Al kederi shachol. Can you imagine they used to hang salami over an open milchik pot? They weren't worried about the zeya. Why? Because it was high enough that by the time the zeya got up, it was no longer yatzel ladispa. V'cheinim ha-machlas mechusa. This we saw about already last time. So it's interesting that the Ramah says clearly that if you have, let's say, for example, the zeya high, you have the object, the kli, the food higher than where the zeya comes up, and by the time the zeya gets there, it's already no longer yatzei ledes. So then it's not a problem. If you remember last week, Moshe had a tshuva where the shoyl wanted yes.
Sorry to interrupt again, but I don't know about everybody else, but I can't see you. Could everyone else see you?
No.
Now I see you.
Yeah, I know. The problem is I can't share the Maror Makarmis and see me. So what? I'm not sure what's more important.
I'll blow the secret. Amir Tashem starting tomorrow, there won't be an issue. Okay?
Okay. Amir Tashem. I'm sorry. I'm on a different device tonight. So hopefully we'll just bear with me. So it's either the Maror Makarmis or my pretty face. You have to make a decision, guys. I think the Maror Makarmis. I think the Maror Makarmis is probably more important. But in any case.
I have it printed.
Okay, I don't know if anyone else has it printed. I'm never sure with Tuesday night. Whatever everyone wants. Okay. But, well, we'll go back
to... Do me a favor, guys. Chat me what you want to see, please. Thank you, and then I'll let him know.
So Rav Moshe had the tshuva with the shoyl tanya to Rav Moshe that he thinks that in the oven, they don't hit yatzel ledes. They don't get yatzel ledes by the time they get to the walls, which Rav Moshe rejected. But let's say, for example, you have a zeya go up to an area that is clearly no longer yatzei ledes, so that's not a problem. However, the Darkei Tshuva quotes him a prima gadim. He doesn't quote from the prima gadim, but it's clear that even if you have no longer hot yatzei ledes, I'm sorry, even if you have zeya that's no longer yatzei ledes, it's cooled down. But zeya is a real thing. It's mamashes. Therefore, Zokta Daki Tshuva number 6, he says, he says, but you have to be careful to wash it off afterwards. Why? Because you still have cold mamoshes of zeya. That cold zeya is like meat. So you can't eat milchiks with cold fleshiks. So even though it's not a problem of bleias because it's not hot, but you still have mamoshes which you have to wash away before you would eat the piece of meat. Now, why am I bringing this all up? Because this is very negeya in a kitchen. Why? So many times people, more common in a commercial kitchen, where you want to hang spatulas, you want to hang different instruments that you use in the cooking, and they hang it right above the stove. So what happens? You cook in the stove, an open pot of meatballs, the steam goes up, and what does it do? It hits the spatula. So now it gets absorbed into the spatula, is a zeya of fleshiks. And you're going to turn around and use that spatula with milchiks. or that spatula then will get milk in it. So that should present a problem. So the place can talk about this. Many places can suggest, again, I don't know how many homes have this, but it's much more common in, I think, commercial kitchens where they have dishes, pots, and they have kalim hanging above the oven. The zeh goes up. So if the zeh, if it's very high up, so by the time the zeh gets there, it's no longer yatzei ledes bo, so it's not a problem, but you would still have to wash it off, as we saw from the Daki Tshuva, because it has that mamashis on it. So that's what over here, I brought that over here, number 7, the Sefer Piskei Tshuvas, he writes, the kibin sheni yatzei ledes bo, since the zeh is not yatzei ledes, but if it is, it's asur. You should not hang kelim on top of the oven. Give up either steam of milk inflation, you won't be able to use it. So let's say, for example, I have a spatula hanging above my oven. And then my oven, I had hot meatballs cooking, so the zeh goes up, went into the spatula, now I can't use that spatula for milchiks. So that's a concern that he has. Now again, many of the contemporary poskim can say it depends how high up they are. If they're very high up, so then the zeh is not going to travel that far. However, my force does point out that if you have a very big pot that has a lot of zeh, that could be an issue with the stove hood. Anyone know the hood of the stove? Some of the stoves have like a hood over them. That can also be a problem because that zeah also goes up. And then it could be yatzei ledes and it could hit the hood of the stove and then you'll cook milchiks open and you could have the same problem. But it's just something to keep in mind. I don't think it's so negay in the regular home, but if you're going to have spatulas and spoons hanging over your oven, you could potentially be running into an issue of zeah in the kelim. Continuing on with zeah, one last issue with zeah and then we'll move on to the microwave. I'm sorry, two more issues. Another issue with zeah is, let's say, for example, you have a chont. You have a pot of chont, and you want to add hot water to the chont. You want to add water to the chont. So what's going to happen? You open the lid of the chont, and that zeah hits you. That's steam. And then you're going to pour the cup over the chont. So that cup just got zapped with fleishik zeah in it. So now the question is, if I want to use that exact same cup to pour over hot milchiks, would that be a problem? Now, this is a shtickle, an issue that you have with urns. Right? Very often, people have shadows about the urns at work, or even chametz to Pesach. People say, what could be wrong with the urn? Well, I'll tell you what could be wrong with the urn. If the urn has hot water, that hot water goes into the cup. That cup is cooking, let's say, for example, it's cooking hot cocoa, milchika hot cocoa, so that steam then shoots in to now have zeah milchiks. Then you can have someone who puts out, I guess maybe a fleishika thing or a not kosher thing. So now the blias of the zeah goes into the nozzle. So Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt has a tshuva about this in number 8, where he writes, Nishalti, I was once asked, Me'echo sheshofach mayim mikumkum. Someone poured water from it's a good word for kumkum, like a thermos. Shehoyo al hablech b'shabes, a techa cholent. Does it now make the whole thing fleishiks? The toin Rab Blumenkrantz, I'm assuming he means the Rabbi Blumenkrantz, shakumkum nasa b'sari mazeh, becomes fleishik. So I would not be able to pour from that thermos onto hot milchiks. But he writes, he doesn't think it's true. Right? Shemetzias raka nitzuk nichnas l'ka'ora v'shara kumkum loy hu oimed. And what was it mamish in the chalant? I'm not sure why. He doesn't think that the zeah has enough power to make it fleishiks. Okay. But halach l'maisa, I would suggest anyone that's going to be pouring over anything that's hot, perhaps try to keep it far away from the smoke, from the steam. This way you can avoid any issues of zeah. Last issue on the stove is the oven burner. Everyone knows the way a stove looks. So you have the fire, the burner, and then you have the little metal piece that you put the pot on. Is there any issue if I want to use most of us have four burners on our oven, and we have four of those stove grates. Is there any issue if I want to put a fleishika pot on a stove grate at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to cook hot milchiks, and then 2 hours later, I'm going to put the meatballs on that same stove grate? Is there any potential halachic issue? So it's interesting, if you look over here, number 9, from the Kovitz Beis Levi. These are on Hoggis of Shmuel Vosner. We're going to quote from quite a few Vosners tonight. So we'll start off with the Tate Reb Shmuel Vosner, the great Pesach, also a Talmud of Reb Meir Shapiro in Lublin. So he writes the following. Kiraim shel gas. A stove, a gas stove. Hachatsuva, the chatsuva, again, the chatsuva really translates into a tripod, but the chatsuva over here means the stove grates. It's better to buy new ones. He's talking about for Pesach. He says, if you can't switch them, to unum libun, they need libun. And to cover them. You should have separate grates for cooking milk and meat. Has anyone ever heard of anyone that does not cook on the same stove grate, milchiks and fleishiks? I don't know anyone. But we'll see tonight, there are quite a few people that hold that way. Reb Shmuel Vosner was of the
opinion. A lot of people have two separate cooktops.
Really? They have two separate stove ovens? I don't know, most ovens have four burners, right?
Not ovens. We're talking about stoves.
Right, so most people have an oven.
Two ovens.
No, you have an oven on top of the oven is a stove.
No. You can have, let's say, like, for instance, in my house, I have a double wall oven. Top is fleishiks, bottom is milchiks. Then I got a fleishik cooktop and a milchik.
Ah, okay, very good. That's fantastic. Yeah. We'll see. Moshe Sternberg loves that idea. But I have one oven. So I have an oven.
Well, put it this way, Reb Shmuel, first, when I was building my kitchen, I asked him, he told me it's a good idea to do it.
100%. We're going
to
get to it in a second.
You can't do it.
We're going to see
if
Moshe Sternberg has a whole rip on these people who spend so much money on their kitchens, but yet they don't bother to spend time or money on something that's halachically preferred. But most of us have, again, I only speak to what I have. I have an oven, and in the oven, I have one oven. I have two trays, two rows, right? And then on top of my oven, I have a stove. The stove has four burners. And of the four burners, I have four stove grates. So I use all of them all the time. Reb Shmuel Vosner would tell you that's not correct. You should preferably have to designate those that are going to be used for only meat and those that are only going to be used for milkings. Question is why? What's this all about? So he writes over here, and then the footnote number 10 is the footnote in the Sefer. He writes, the Ramah is in Tofnon Aleph is in Hilchos Pesach. What's going on over there? The Ramah writes, you have a chatsuva. A chatsuva, I told you, is a tripod where you put the dish on top of it. So the Ramah writes, that needs libun. Why does that need libun? And Mr. Brewer says over there, Sifkot Namadal, and make a libun kal. Mr. Brewer says, now you can get away with libun kal. You don't need to use a blowtorch. Why? The cost of the meikarad din ain't sorach libun kal, because it doesn't really need anything. Why? Because again, two dishes that touch each other, blias do not get absorbed unless there is either some form of a liquid medium. So if I have two pots that touch each other, there's no way that blias can get into one or the other. So let's work it out like this. Let's say I have my stove grate. So what's my concern? My concern is that while I'm cooking hot milchiks, so by mistake, I spilled a little hot cheese on the grate. So now the grate has blias of milchiks in it. So then I'm going to put my fleishika pot on it. And therefore what? The blias are not going to go through the pot. But the concern is if there's a little moisture on the pot, so then it could go. Then blias couldn't go through the moisture. So that's the hochshash with the stove grate. So he says, so he says, why over there we makel, says the Mishnah Berurah? We makel because really, it burns itself out. Because where's the stove grate? It's under the fire. The fire burns it out. It's doing hagala all the time. So therefore, Zakti Mishnah Berurah, but etzem, it's okay, we're only machmir because of chametz. However, says Reb Shmuel Vosner, omnam bechatsuve shalonu, but our ovens are different. Shamasger is gedoli, it's very big. Veina ala ish mamish, the entire burner, the entire metal part is not completely under the fire. It's near the fire, but it's a big piece. The entire piece is not exposed to the fire directly. So he writes, Ve'ena ala ish mamish, hariyatam de mistoma nisaf l'shech. He holds it's not true. You can't say it gets burned out because not all of it is exposed to the fire. Therefore, he thinks you have to have separate. As I zogt to Shmuel Vosner. Now, Reb Moshe Sternberg also thinks like this. He writes over here in number 11. He says, Biram, hayoyis v'hakilkul motze b'chol yoyim, it's not a good idea to have the same burner. You have to have separate burners. The Ksav Sofer writes already, you should have separate metal pieces, meaning separate metal stove grates for milchiks and fleishiks. And then he gives a little bit of a Moshe Shmuz. Ubi yoyse bizmanenu sh'odam moitzi al nechu yoyse bibayis skumim atzumim. People are blowing tons of money. Loma yigare mitzvahs alakenu v'teirose shi'achtas apirtz alakal. So you're going to spend all this money in the house. Why are you going to set yourself up for a problem? B'shal she'ef sh'li kanis b'reichev. So you're going to spend so much money in the kitchen. Might as well splurge already and get two separate... Like the advice Michael got. Might as well splurge already and get two separate stoves and you don't have a problem. B'shal she'ef sh'er. The nearest are choisech be'enei kashrus.
Rabbi, but you didn't ask me if they used the Melchior one. I haven't. You didn't say. I didn't say
okay.
They necessarily use it.
Okay.
I'll tell you. I just chatted somebody. It's funny because Reb Shmuel first told me to do it. So when they cook both fleishiks and Melchior, so then they actually use the fleishiks and the Melchior. But if not, if they're not cooking fleishiks, then they haven't used the Melchior. On the flesh, because it's easier. Out of laziness, they do it.
There you go. That kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, I know, but you go tell them. I'll tell you what. I'll give you that job. That's why I'm on the shear, not them.
I'm just saying, that's all that harder, extra money that you put in to have the separate stove kind of backfires if no one's going to use it. But okay.
No. They use it if we're cooking milchiks and fleishiks at the same time.
I understand.
I'm saying, but if they don't cook it at the same time, then they just use the fleishiks, right, even for milchiks, because it's more convenient.
I understand, but again, according to this cheshbon, it's not. It's still a problem. If you cook at 8 o'clock in the morning milchiks in a pot, so we're choishes that some of the milchiks spilled onto the grate, and then you're going to cook fleishiks, and the fleishiks might be the pot might be a little moist, and that's going to become a problem. It's not only if you cook them at the same time. But,
I'll be honest with you, Rabbi. I have a hard time understanding. How does the moisture from the bottom of the pot get inside to the food on the inside of the pot?
Okay, so we're gonna.
That's a little.
So that we're gonna again. That we're gonna have to talk about if we ever deal with the issues of. Again, that's the next stage is to talk about pots, but that's the halacha. Well, that's the Ramah says in Sadi Beis, which we'll have to at some point get into. So Ramah Shishtarmach over here has this rip a little bit over here on people, and he writes, V'chein aminah b'kiyoyim etzel yorei Hashem l'daktik b'zeh. All good, God-fearing Jews are careful. V'elu shebaf shirusam yoysem medaktik m'lasas d'chalavi kirayim l'frod l'magamri. If you can have a separate... He said, people are machmed to have separate grates. He says you can have a separate oven, like Michael. Tovil of bracha. Then you get a bracha. Val kaponim yesh li yached b'kirayim barzilim l'bishul basa l'chud v'chol v'chol. But l'maisa, he thinks if you can't have a separate oven, at least have designated grates for meat and milk. V'chein haminag, that is the accepted practice. I would disagree with the metzias. I don't think that's the practice. I think if I went into 20 Jewish homes and asked them how many of you have separate designated stove grates for basa v'chol, I don't think I'm going to get 20 out of 20 saying that. I don't think I'll get 10 out of 20 saying that, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it depends which community I go into. But I don't think most people do that. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But that's what Moshe Sternberg's Cheshbon, that's what Shmuel Voz's Cheshbon. Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this topic. Nigris Moshe. Rav Moshe writes the following.
I'm giving you a visual. That's the fleishiks. That's the milchiks.
I can't see anything, but I'll take your word for it. I can only see the Maran Mekomis, but okay. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, Nigris Moshe Yerodei Chelik Alvesim Nun Test, number 11 and number 12. Where Moshe discusses, he said there's a Chai Adam that talks about a Chatzuva, where the Chai Adam says that a Chatzuva needs to have kashering even for Basa B'chalav. Again, the Ramah was talking about Pesach, and Mishnah Berurah said, because of Chumrah de Pischa. But the Chachmas Adam says, no, you got to kasher a Chatzuva even for Basa B'chalav, and Moshe has a hard time trying to understand why it is that way. And then Moshe writes at the end, in number 12, he says the same Svara that Rabbi Shmuel Vazir didn't like. He says that the oven grates kasher themselves. Because since they're exposed to the fire, they get burned out all the time, and therefore they don't really need to be kasher. And then he writes in number 12, Ubarzilim shall al tanuri agash minaseinu, ein lahachmer b'sharisruim. You don't have to be machmer. Afaroit alochos the chachmas adam. If you want to be worried about the chay adam, the hugam mate b'diavid. First of all, he's mate if it's b'diavid. Shem dehavi kibes kadeirish and oguzebzeh. Ubshasat chak is kadeavid. Ulchein rak b'chatsuva. It's only if it's a chatsuva, shem behefset klal. It's easy, apparently, to get different chatzuvas. He writes, "V'loy b'har barzilim, but not by the metal of the stovetop grates." U'kamay shenogu kol Yisrael b'medina seinu. So, at Yomayisha, all the Jews are noyik to have the same grates for basa b'chalav. Ube Pesach yesh l'machmir l'chatchil. But for Pesach, maybe you should be machmir. So that's what many people do for Pesach. There are people that are machmir for Pesach to either kasher the grates, which are very easily kashered through a self-clean oven. or other people that they will specifically go out and kosher the grates with libum by turning on the fire, or some people cover the grates. They wrap the grates in foil. These are all...
Then on Pesach, they have separate
from Leish, Basar, and... Nah, I can't imagine. They only have the separate for the Chumah de Pischa, like the Mishnah Berurah said, for the Chatzuva. But for regular during the year, most Rav Moshe says, most people are not too makpid to have separate ones. Rav Moshe Shtenbruch told us, everyone has separate ones. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, not too many people are makpid. And then I found something interesting. Then I found, on page 2, in the Sefer Oral Yaakov, from this Rabbi Skatchelis, he writes, Shemati me'agoyin Reb Dava Feinstein Shlita, now it's Atzal, obviously, that Reb Dava Feinstein said, Shebebeze shal oviv hishtamshu im chatzuva achas l'kdeire shal basa v'chalav. Reb Moshe used the same ones. Reb Moshe was a makbid to have separate grates. V'ayim ba'ali chashloima v'chein bebeze ha'goyin Reb Shlomo Zalman, bishlu basa v'chalav agabi oisa chatzuva. Reb Shlomo Zalman was also not makbid. V'ayim v'shum d'chol achshash u'rak shemi yirishuv shenoga hatav shal b'chatzuva. The whole chshash is maybe a dish touched the grate. V'kim d'chshash rechuka, the whole thing is so far-fetched. Samchinon d'mahani libon kal, you have libon kal, which is it ready burns itself out, and therefore the whole thing is not a problem. Rabbi Abadi weighs in on such a shayla. Number 14, they asked Rabbi Abadi, Im tzorech lalabin habarzilim shal atanurim shenikrim chatzuvos. Do we have to kasher the grates that are called chatzuvos? So Rabbi Abadi, Ein tzorech lalabin hayem habarzilim shal atanurim. You do not have to kasher the grates. Why? Ki akol nisraf miyad. Everything is burnt up automatically. Vein laharach bezeh kan, I don't have to be too much marach. And then it goes on to say that the chatzuvah is different than what we have. And he thinks the whole thing is chumrah. He doesn't think there's anything to talk about. There is no problem. There's no be'en also. I mean, there's no issue of any mamashis left on the grates because, again, everything gets burnt down and therefore nothing is presumably an issue.
Well, so, it wouldn't be an issue of it being neos also?
Well, again, if there's mamashis, that mamashis can give off, it can be a problem. If there's really something on the grate, like something, if there's really something on the floor of the oven, and that gets hot, that could be a problem. But he's saying there's nothing there at all, everything gets burned out, everything gets cooked, everything gets burnt, nothing to worry about. Again, for Pesach, people are makbit, and even then it's only a chumrah. But for Basa B'chalav, I don't think too many people are makbid. But again, if you want to designate in your house which grates are going to be used for Basa, which grates are going to be used for Chalav, Tavei Alav Bracha. But strictly speaking, again, there's definitely makam not to have to do that and just to use the same grates and assume everything gets cooked and everything gets burned up. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about the microwave. The microwave. Now, the microwave became a very, very important part of the Jewish home, I think of every home. Now, some of us have the option to... It's funny, I happen to have two microwaves, just because I got one as someone was giving it away, so I had two microwaves. But many people don't have two microwaves, they have one microwave. Or, what's more negeya is, for those people who go into an office, hopefully one day, I guess, more of us will get back to offices, or maybe not. Depends if you like working from home or not. But for those of you that go into an office, and you have an office that you share with coworkers, some are Jewish, some are not Jewish, some are religious, some are not religious, and they cook, and they do who knows what in the microwave. And the question is, how do you work? Can you use that microwave also? Now, without getting into the science, mainly because I'm not such a, I'm not holding in the science, but anyone knows, and everyone knows, there's a fundamental difference between a microwave and an oven. An oven, the oven gets hot, and by doing so, it cooks the food. By a microwave, the food gets hot, and that's how it gets cooked. The walls of a microwave don't get hot. The microwave itself doesn't get hot. The food gets hot. So there's some differences with regard to how a microwave is going to be situated. First of all, a microwave has much more steam. Food coming out of a microwave will always be steaming. So that's a big issue. That means the zeya. Mitzad sheni, you're not going to find that the walls get hot. Why don't the walls get hot? The answer is because the zeya doesn't go to the walls, because the walls are made out of whatever they're made out of, which we'll get to. The third issue with the microwave is that the microwave is much smaller than an oven. Everything is more compact, which means there's less room for where the zeya can hide or get out. So how do we deal with a microwave? So if you remember last week, our big proponent for no zeya in ovens, I'll make that a bumper sticker, no zeya in ovens, was Rev Benzion Vosner. Rev Benzion Vosner. So what do you think Rev Benzion Vosner is going to say about a microwave? So if you look over here, number 18, in number 15, at the end of that article that he wrote in Ar Yisrael, he writes the following. Ulam kol ze'ena ela b'stam tanurim shebabayis. All that I told you, that zeya is not a problem in the modern day oven, that's an oven. Aval betanure misudos mafalim vechem betanure toaster shebabayis mistafino lohakel vakoponim lechatchila kiabe lichluch be'en shchichi behem vekol shekein betanur microwave microgal microwave oven de pshita she'osir lahachim bo begoloi bosav yivina. He says it's partial without a question. Microwaves are a problem to cook opened. Either milk and meat or isav heter. Afilu b'zeach hazeh, even if it's one after the other. So let's say, for example, your coworker puts in his ham sandwich, and then you want to put in your kosher, whatever it is. Zogt b'tzin vazner aser. Why? He says, she'ein lo ulatanur v'loi klum. Ke'ein chamimis b'chaloi. He said, it's not like an oven that gets hot, that it burns out the zeya before it gets into the walls. Even though I'm willing to be matter in an oven, I'm not budging on a microwave. Microwaves are worse, because nothing kills the zeya. The microwave doesn't get hot. So the steam goes to the wall, the steam goes to the side, boom, you got a problem. So therefore, Zogtib Vosner, the only way to deal with a microwave is you got to cover. Ushakisa yachsik mu'umid, it should be tightly fitted. Kimidarka lisparik mikayach rikos achum. Because very often, if you're cooking a microwave dish for a long time, it gets very hot. The plastic will come off because of the heat. V'yaniach kliyachim mitachteim lebos, we should put another kli under it. Me'achra shedarkim lozov tachteim miroi v'achamim, it's because they start to drip. V'imloi niza v'nisbashu begiloi v'ezio makarego mehem, yachshir ma'idei maim. So what happens if you want to kashra a microwave? So he says the way you cash for a microwave is with water. You want to put in a big kli, boil up hot water, we'll talk more about this later tonight, and that's how you cash for a microwave. Okay, so Vosner's ironic. He says, even though I hold ovens are fine, microwaves are worse. Why are microwaves worse? Because microwaves, there's no heat of the walls to kill the zeya, and therefore you have a major problem in a microwave. And the Sefer Chai Alevi, source 16, which is also by Rabbi Chanan Vosner, he writes, "Ein lishtamish b'microwave or achad lebasar v'chol. You can't use one microwave for milk and meat. Ubediyevet, let's say you did. So he writes, Sarachi and Godel, you gotta know. Sh'amru hamumchim sh'azeya nichnas b'teich achurin sh'bekoisel. The experts say that the zeya goes into the wall, the cracks of the wall. V'yev shel hadicha, you can't get it out. Rakish sh'yiftach v'yifarek as koisel, unless you take apart the whole thing. He says that you can't get the zeya unless you mamish take apart the kli. I'm not sure what he's talking about. Let's say it only happened once. So he thinks you could be mekel lahagil aidei shiyosim koishal mayim l'toichoy. You put in a cup of water. V'yartiach it boils, gets hot. V'yale hevel lahachshar hazeh. Everyone knows this. How do you cash a microwave? You go to a hotel on vacation and you want to use the microwave. So what do you do? So everyone says you cash in a microwave. How do you cash a microwave? So you gotta ask yourself, kibloya kach poltoy. How is it an issue? It was a zeya issue. So it's okay if you use hot water, so that becomes the same steam. So the same steam will purge the bleus. But he writes, he says, but if you have a microwave that was used many times for basar and chalav, then he thinks, oz l'chayre ein l'hachshir rakid epsicha sakli. Then he thinks you can't kasher it with just steam. Ubechol oifin yesh lasu sheos chacham. He says, but if you want to use an opposite gender microwave on occasion, he thinks it's mutter if you cover it two times. Now, this is the first time, and we'll see this in other achronim, that there's a tzad to say that although I can cook in my oven back to back covered, and the microwave achronim are not willing to budge. With the microwave, they're not willing to accept the notion of covering foods in a microwave. And the obvious question is, what's the difference? So the answer could be is that in an oven there's less problems. Maybe the zeya taka gets burned up. But as we'll see, the difference really is fundamental, because in an oven, it's less likely that the covering will come undone. As opposed to in a microwave, it's more likely that the covering of a microwavable food will open. If that happens, then you get exposed, and then you have zeya problems on your hand. That's one camp thought. So we have so far, we have Reb Tzion Vosner and Reb Chanan Vosner, they all think that microwaves are a serious problem. Now, if you come to Rabbi Abadi, source number 17, he was asked, "Hey, moto l'shtamish microwave lebaser v'achka cholov? Can you use a microwave back to back?" So zok tim mutter, no problem, says Rabbi Abadi. It's all good. Ukadesh, yeah, Kalmine Boys is fake, as Dr. Bayabad, if you want to avoid all problems, Toiv Likvoya Shitamanachim and Aminim Yemuchos. So the other option is, whichever one you're going to pick, just cover the other one. But initially, Rabbi Abadi's thought is that it's okay. But, you know what? What does it hurt to cover it? And then in another tshuva, he explains himself that Lamaisa, you have a problem. Why? Because what do you do with the glass plate? The glass plate is going to absorb bleus. Again, presumably you're putting it directly on the glass, which most of us don't do. But let's say you'd put it directly on the glass. The glass plate absorbs the bleus. And then when you're going to cook the fleishiks on it, the opposite, it's going to come out. So why is that not a problem? So says Rabbi Abadi, what about the glass plate that's in every microwave? Maybe he's talking about over there chametz. Maybe a little chametz spilled on it. So he writes, any idea? What are you worried about? We actually discussed this a few weeks ago. Rabbi Abadi is of the opinion that glass does not absorb anything. That was maybe the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, even though us Ashkenazim presumably are more machmir, but he thinks it's okay. So he says, nothing to worry about. He says, v'zedovish yadua hayim bevadeh, and that's something we all know today. Ask anyone that does any work in a lab, and they'll tell you glass does not absorb anything. So he thinks the glass plate does not present a problem. V'af elu shenistapku b'zman ha-modchai, ein zeh alosofik, v'imkein, av efshel l'smayach al-roif tashmisha, you can worry about roif tashmisha, again, most of the time, the food does not drip onto the plate. And therefore, he thinks it's not a problem. And then he concludes, he says, I tell everyone to cover it. But he writes, he thinks, first of all, it's only a problem if it's going to be a liquid. Again, what do we put in microwaves? Very often, the things we put in the microwave doesn't really have zeya. Why? Because you put a salad into the microwave. That doesn't produce halachic zeya. So you're going to put a salad into the microwave, that's also not a problem. He thinks it's only if it's going to be a shemichavim noizel, it's going to be some form of a liquidy thing. Okay. So he's very makel. Again, I don't believe most people are makel. I think most people are machmur with microwaves, and we do not use microwaves back-to-back bas b'chalav unless you cover one of them. However, Rabbi Eliashiv has a bigger chiddush. Rabbi Eliashiv is quoted in the Sefer Shvus Yitzchak. Rabbi Eliashiv writes this, V'shamati me'agoyin Rabbi Eliashiv shlito, the kibin she'ina kisei mochach le'etem ha'bishol ha'microwave, goes, okay, Rabbi Eliashiv, alom l'shavart. So when you put something in an oven, it's normal to cover it. That's part of the cooking process. So Zogta Bilyashev, but in a microwave, that's not normal. How does a guy cook something in a microwave? Now, the truth is, again, I'm not so old, but I remember when I was a kid, everyone put everything in saran wrap because everyone was afraid of getting cancer from the microwaves. Even the guy used to use saran wrap. I don't know what the metzius is today, but back then it was posh that everyone used to cover everything. But Bilyashev is saying it's not true. People don't cover things in microwaves. It's abnormal. Well, so what's Dr. Bilyashiv? L'chein, yesh loch Hashem yishkach l'chasoisi. We're afraid maybe you'll forget to cover it. Oy shalo yimuchus ehetiv. You won't cover it well. Kol zman ha-bishav etiflat zeya. You're going to have a problem with zeya. V'chshash ha-michshul b'zeh hu yoyseh kariv. He thinks it's not so far-fetched. So therefore, Dr. Bilyashiv, no good. Then he concludes, l'chein ein l'shtamish b'maikawegel l'bosav v'chalav b'zeh chazah afilum yakib l'chasoisim ehetiv. Dr. Bilyashiv, you still can't use a covering for a microwave. Even if you covered it well. Use double covering. You're going to have a special covering. Dr. Bilyashiv, none of it's good. So according to Bilyashiv, you mamash have to have separate microwaves. So again, besides for Bilyashiv, if you're going to be at work and you want to, so you put saran wrap, you put double saran wrap, you put a cover over it, you're good to go. Bilyashiv says no. Then he writes over here on the bottom, V'chein shemati mikamab nebesish agonim shom zaman orbach, sheheshiv lehem shleg lishtamish betanar mikawegel lebosav v'cholav b'zachaze. Shom zaman also held not to use back-to-back bosav v'cholav, gamim yakpidu l'chasakim if you cover it. Why? Because they held that since these things are not normally used in such a setting, the covering will not be done well. That was also the opinion of Shmuel Vosner, number 20, that they held Yutaka can't cover it. But l'maisiv Moshe Shtermich, number 22, again, I'm just reading quickly because we're getting a little short on time over here. But Rabbi Shtermich in source number 22, he's matter, good old-fashioned covering. And that's, again, the way many of the contemporary Achronim write today. That if you cover it well, then you could use it the opposite gender microwave. That's what I think most of us do today. But again, another point noting, you want to make sure the microwave is clean. Because the microwave is dirty, then forget about Zeya. You have problems of mamashis. You have real dirt in your microwave. So again, let's say, for example, you come to a hotel and you want to use the microwave. So first of all, make sure the microwave is clean, which it almost always is, or you'll get a free night from the hotel because they're not going to leave you a dirty microwave. Then, strictly speaking, you don't have to kasher the microwave. If you want to, just cover it well, and you don't really have to kasher it. Again, most of us kasher because we think it's quick to kasher. But strictly speaking, you don't have to kasher it, just cover it. If you cover it, you don't have to kasher it. Now,
Rabbi, sorry to interrupt a second. Who is number 19? I can't read it.
The Shvus Yitzchak.
What?
The Shvus Yitzchak.
And who is that?
I do not know. I think he's a Yid in Eretz Yisrael. He writes very quotes from the contemporary Paiske. Now,
so yeah. According to many that hold that he's solid, you wouldn't have to cover if you didn't.
Again, in theory, a salad doesn't really need to be covered, but again, we're machmir because we don't know what's considered what, and maybe you'll argue that, like Rav Moshe says, that here you actually see the steam because in a microwave everything gives off steam. So again, I wouldn't be makel in a microwave with a salad. I'd be machmir also, but if I wrapped it well with saran wrap or double saran wrap, where I put it in a bag, or let's say Tupperware, right? I think they have these Tupperware now that's supposed to be microwave safe. So if you put that on, I'd feel very comfortable putting it in a non-kosher microwave or putting it into the opposite gender microwave. Now, how do you kasher a microwave? How do you kasher a microwave? So the truth is, we really need to talk about this more when we get closer to Pesach, about kashering from chametz to Pesach, but let's talk about the typical basa techalav. So if you look at number 23, he writes, this is also from the Shvus Yitzchak, he writes, v'yesh lo d'nim ha'golai de'adim, can you use steam? Meaning, what does that mean to use steam? The typical taste, you'll take a cup, you take a bowl and you put it up with hot water, and the hot water will boil hot, 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 that it gives off steam into the microwave. So the assumption is the same way the walls got balua with zeya, it will come out with zeya. So he says, not so poshut. The yesh lodin, there's a debate. Im hagolai de adim mahani la microwave shabolai de adim, can you use steam to kasher it, that it got balua with steam? You'll put a pitcher with water. It boils up. The yalu adim al defanas and puts steam on the walls. I just want to mention, a lot of people kasher the microwaves incorrectly. They don't let it get hot enough for the steam to get to everywhere it needs to go. They take a little cup, they put it on for 3 minutes, and they think there's genug. They really should make sure it's producing steam that's able to, go to all the sides in the microwave. He writes, V'yakbit she'anichu ha'adam l'chol mekoymets, v'boifin she'yeh v'rikuz ha'adam v'choymim l'ipachos me'oifin shebo nivla. It has to be kibloi kach polte. So you don't know how long the guy put it on for to get it. Again, I don't think people put things in the microwave for more than 4 or 5 minutes. Usually not, unless you're defrosting. And then in that case, there's no zeya probably anyways. But I think 5 minutes, I saw some people say 10 to 15 minutes. I think if you put a cup of water for 10 to 15 minutes, it might explode. I don't know what's going to happen. I think a lot of people say 5 minutes, but the point is, you want to get Rabbi, it bubbling, steaming. Yeah.
I think Rabbi Heineman says just clean out the microwave well,
yeah,
and then put in a cup for, like you said, for 5 minutes, and then it should boil up enough.
Right. The point is you want to make sure, again, if your concern is mamoshes, it's got to be clean, zeya, steam won't take care of dirt. But if it's clean, like in a hotel, so then your concern is zeya, so you got to get the zeya out. How do you get the zeya out? Well, the same way the zeya got in. Through steam. So you want to make sure there's enough steam. Again, I think the average person doesn't use a microwave for more than 5 minutes. So that zeya that's produced in the 5 minutes of boiling that water should be able to get it out. Now, I don't understand exactly what he's talking about over there, but if you look at number 21, say for Avnei Yeshva, he writes over here that people are makel to cover, which is what we mentioned. But he writes over here, you got to wrap it twice. He said you have to wrap it twice. Okay. But if you look at the next... In the next one, he writes, but you can't kasher it. He says, it's impossible to kasher a microwave. Why? So he writes, v'nishalti, I was asked, kam upon me many times, emot l'hachshar a microwave, kasher shtam shav agam l'bots v'agam l'cholof, can you kasher it? And he writes, no. Why? He says, ha'defane shal a microwave asui mi plastic. The walls of the microwave are made of plastic. V'lo initin l'hachshar plastic shabalav b'kli rishon. You can't kasher plastic that was belay from a kli rishon. Mach mashu sofik cheres. Because it might be cheres. We don't know how to treat plastic. U'l'chein, im ha'defane is balua mizeh shal machom. So if the walls got... Again, the food gets heated up from the electrowaves. So the food is a kli rishon. Then it gives off zeya to the walls. So that means the walls got balua from a kli rishon. So he says, you can't kasher that. He says, v'ein loy mashir sichu mayim loy tzis ablo. What do you mean? I'll use hot water. Shavei mashir and kli rishon. You can't kasher from a kli rishon. U'l'chein yev shel ha'achshar ma'ika wegel shel defan as b'plastik. He says, it's impossible to kasher it. Okay? Most people assume not like that. But Rabbi Yashiv had a different chiddush. Rabbi Yashiv said that you can't kasher it with Zeya. You can't kasher it. He says, "Shemati me'agoyin Rabbi Yashiv number 25, Telahachshar a microwave b'bliya Zeya shall Isser v'chein the Pesach, Isser and Pesach, ain lismeich al ha'gola ayidei Zeya." You can't use Zeya. You can't use Iroi, everything has to be covered. So according to Bliash, if you're going to go to a hotel and you're worried that maybe the guy before you cooked open ham, it doesn't help to kasher it. You got to cover it. So according to Bliash, if you're going to be choshish for Bliash, you really have to cover it. And again, according to Bliash, Bliash doesn't love coverings either. He writes, you have to use a covering, strong cover. But even though we saw before, Bliash doesn't love covers. But Rabbi Yashiv, you can't kasher it from Pesach, and you can't kasher it from Isser, but maybe you could kasher it from Basa B'chalav. Maybe even Rabbi Yashiv you could do that much. However, Rav Moshe held you could kasher microwaves. He quotes over number 26, that he heard from the Talmidim of Rav Moshe, Shehiter lahachshir microwagel afilu lepesach v'kol shkevi Basa B'chalav. You can kasher a microwave for Pesach, and you can kasher Basa B'chalav. Ayidei, why? How? Shemenakin atan or hate if you clean out the oven well, umamtinim chofta al choice, you wait 24 hours. V'achagach yaneach kli sheesh b'mayim reichsin, you put in a kli that has boiling hot water, v'yafilu l'meshach zman sheertiach hate when it gets really hot, ukebloya kach polte, da'an ayidei azeh sheba ha'mayim, the same way it came in, that's the way it goes out. Menira, shebemekoyma shenishbach shom tavshel vayir mekli rishon ena mayim shebekoyse chayim lahachshir. He says, but if it got hot from a kli rishon, you have a problem. Then you'll have to pour hot water on those spots. He writes, v'chein shemati shahakol agoyin Rabbi Sobalski. I think his yartzeit was not too far ago. Rabbi Belsky was also mekel except for Pesach, at least for Basa B'cholov and for Isser. He held you could kasher a microwave. So a microwave is definitely kasherable. Now they asked Rav Moshe Meservis Moshe. About what about the fact that there's porcelain in the microwave? So he writes in number 27, Oidus microwave, Omer Rabbeinu, she'im nasa mi porcelain, if it's taka made of porcelain, ozi efshel achshir, you can't kasher it. Yesh gzeir shemi tpoka, it's going to break. It's going to crack. Alva me'achu she'esh sofik in b'chlal bol azeh, but Sanctuary Moshe, it's only a sofik if it really got the zeh, the she'im in a mas b'chhoim lashbi al koisle tanor, maybe it doesn't get absorbed. So to Moshe, you could kasher it after 24 hours. Stickle steer over here. Here he's saying that you can't kasher for Pesach, but for Bas B'chalav, Moshe held you could kasher. Just to wrap up this topic, I want to leave you off with the Gevaldik Tshuva for Moshe Sternberg. I met him many years ago. I had a friend of mine who wanted to take his wife for an anniversary somewhere. They wanted to go to a hotel. There wasn't any kosher food. I think this guy was a shtickle chef. So he cooked the food himself, and he brought it to the hotel, and he asked the hotel, can he put it in the hotel's oven? The hotel had a kitchen, and he wanted to put his food into the oven. So what would you think is the halacha? You think, well, you can't do that. So based on what we've been learning for the last 3 weeks, we really know the answer. The answer is if he covers his dish well, he really could. And that's what Moshe Shtembach writes over. He says, let's say if a person is traveling and he only has a tray for oven and he wants to put in his food, so Moshe Shtembach, strictly speaking, you can just cover it and put it in. He says, I don't want you doing this all the time, but he says, strictly speaking, that's really okay. Because if something is covered, so there's no zeya, there's no problem, you're good to go. So if you ever find yourself in a difficult situation where you don't have the flexibility to kasher something, so if you really wrap it very well with the three layers of foil, two layers of foil or something else, strictly speaking, it would be okay to cook it in that oven because there's nothing to be worried about because no zeya comes in, no zeya goes out, and it does not really present a halachic issue. I'm not sure if next week we're going to continue on Bas B'chol, we're going to talk about something else, but if not, b'li neder, when we come back to Pesach, I would like to discuss the sink and the dishwasher. I might wait till Pesach and talk about something else because we've been doing a lot of Bas B'chol the last few weeks. I want to talk about something more controversial like the mechitza in shul. So maybe we'll take a break, discuss the mechitza, then we'll discuss Purim, and then maybe we'll come back to the sink and the dishwasher when we get closer to Pesach. Okay, so Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow night we will have the Chumash Shir, and we'll have the regular Parsha Shir at 8 o'clock. Mitzvah Shem tomorrow night. Okay, have a wonderful evening. Be safe and be well. Yes, Michael.
In order to avoid the